This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. When you talk about people living in extreme poverty, for the purposes of this discussion, $2 a day, you don't usually hear places like Chicago and Cleveland, Ohio being mentioned. But there are millions of Americans in those cities and others getting by on basically nothing. Catherine Eden from Johns Hopkins University and Luke Schaefer at the University of Michigan write about the poorest of this country's poor in their new book. It's called $2 a Day, Living on Almost Nothing in America. It's good to have you both with us.
Thanks,
Kai. Pleasure to be with you.
Catherine Eden, $2 a day is barely a gallon of gas. It's not even a gallon of milk. How is that doable? It's not doable.
Yeah, so that's interesting. You know, when we think about this threshold, we often think about the developing world where it's usually used.
Yeah.
Here we are in, you know, the nation's or in the world's most advanced capitalist country where you have to have cash to survive. But not having that vital resource of cash is profoundly disadvantageous for these families. Maybe in particular, the housing conditions. One family, Ray McCormick's in Cleveland, is doubled up with a number of other families in a derelict house in the Stockyards neighborhood. The house has been the victim of scrappers, so it only has one working outlet because the rest of the wiring has been pulled out of the walls. The copper pipes have been stolen. These kinds of living conditions are common because these people don't have enough money for to even buy their kids' socks and underwear, much less pay any kind of stable rent.
Luke, you write about it's an elaborate sort of sub-economy where some of these folks take their food stamp payments and whatever benefits they do get, and there's not a lot, and we'll get to that in a minute, but, you know, they take those electronic bank cards and they in essence, work out arrangements to get cash for part of the balance. They do the scrapping, right? They try to find metals. They sell plasma. Apparently, that's incredibly lucrative and easy to do, their blood plasma.
Yeah. What we really found was people were, from day to day, consumed with the work of getting just a little bit of cash, enough to maybe keep their families going one day. So there was a lot of, you know, you might say innovation and creativity. And as you said, we did see a lot of families trading or selling their food stamps. So they might go into a grocery store that they know does this sort of thing and ring through, say, $100 of fake groceries. And then the grocer would give them $60 in cash. And you can see where the problem is right there is that they're losing $40 of their purchasing power.
And that's the risk arbitrage for the cashier, right, for the grocer.
Yep, right, exactly. So blood plasma is a great example. So Jessica Compton down in Johnson City, Tennessee, she gives as often as the law will allow. If you look at her, the inside crease of her elbow, you see a little divot, which is a scar from giving plasma so much.
So, Kathy, let me ask you then about the safety net, about SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Program, about TINF, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. Generally speaking, welfare. Why aren't these people getting whatever benefits are out there?
So this is the big question, right? Before welfare reform in 1994, TANF touched the lives of about two-thirds of the poor in any given year. Now that figure's down to 25%. Why this is so is a multifaceted question.
Mm-hmm.
Most poor people have not heard of TANF, at least in our sample. Ray McCormick actually went to the TANF office in desperation after months and months with no cash income. And she was told by a caseworker, "I'm sorry, honey. There's not enough to go around. Come back next year."
Wow.
And, of course, this is not what caseworkers are supposed to say, but more and more we're gathering evidence from states that caseworkers are engaging in these kinds of practices called informal diversions to keep the rolls low. And if they do that, by the way, the state can spend the block grant on other purposes. They're not required to spend it on TANF.
Luke Schaefer, this is a callous but I think necessary question. Why can't many of the people about whom you write just get jobs?
Well, this was maybe the thing that surprised us the most when we went into the field and started meeting families. I expected to find find families who were just completely disconnected from the workforce. And in fact, it was completely the opposite. The families who we met thought of themselves as workers, had a history of work, but often because of the instability in the jobs that are available to them, combined with the instability in the support of family and friends that they have, you know, would lose a job, and it would be exceedingly difficult to find another one, especially combining that with housing instability. You know, things would just sort of spiral downwards. When you look at the jobs that are available, we saw very low wages, but perhaps more important, variable and unstable hours. I think we need to fix that because sometimes work just doesn't work.
Luke Schaefer is at the University of Michigan. Kathy Eden is at Johns Hopkins. Their book is called $2 a Day, Living on Almost Nothing in America. Thanks very much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.